Welcome in to another edition of Locked On Titans. I'm Jimmy Morris, joined as always by Terry Lambert. Terry, how are you tonight?
Doing pretty good. What's up, man?
Not too much. Got a few things to talk about. Logan Ryan's season-ending injury. And then we'll look kind of just some overall thoughts on the offense, what we can expect for the next couple weeks going forward. Maybe look at the schedule, look ahead of the Redskins and the line a little bit. Before we do that, remind you, we write for MutinyMiracles.com. We cover the Titans for SB Nation. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Jim Morris, MCM. Terry's at TLambertFB. Follow the podcast account, App and Titans. And you can get your podcast wherever you search. Wherever you get your podcast, you can get the podcast. Just search out Locked On Titans. So Logan Ryan broke his own injury news today. He has a broken fibula and obviously will, you know, go on IR, miss the remainder of the season. It's a big blow for the Titans defense, secondary that has been playing better of late. Logan Ryan has been really probably the most steady guy this year out there. You know, a very versatile guy. They can play outside and inside. Has been their slot corner all year. So you've got a hole there now. And now you've got, you know, three guys in Malcolm Butler, Adoree Jackson, LaShawn Sims, who, I mean, I think we all have at least a little bit of confidence in. But the issue is all of those guys are mainly outside guys. So they're going to have to, one of them is going to have to be able to play inside. You know, of course, Mike Vrabel wasn't willing to commit to any of them today in his press conference. Said, you know, they'll kind of figure it out as the week goes along. But I think LaShawn Sims played more snaps in the slot than Adoree did after Logan Ryan got hurt. So I guess maybe that's the way they're leaning. You've got, you know, and then you would have obviously Butler and Adoree in base, and then LaShawn Sims would come in and play the nickel. But maybe they'll make them a little, I don't know, maybe it'll kind of depend on matchup. But it does just kind of put the defense in an uncomfortable position because you're going to have somebody that's basically playing out of position.
Yeah, LaShawn got 15 snaps versus Adoree 7. And I just wonder if that changes with some game. Maybe they feel more comfortable in a game week throwing LaShawn Sims on the outside where he has played more. Adoree Jackson, if you go back to when he was drafted, the talk is, well, are you just going to pigeonhole him as the slot cornerback? It turns out he hardly played there at all. So, really interesting spot for the Titans. Kind of an unknown. So, it would make sense to me to kind of throw Adoree Jackson into that slot role. Like we said, it's probably not going to matter this week. You got Josh Johnson leading the Redskins passing attack. Just not a lot going on there, but week after that, you've got T.Y. Hilton, the Colts coming back. You know Adoree Jackson is going to get his fill of T.Y. Hilton. That's the matchup that we're all wondering about, and let's just hope they get it figured out before the Colts come to town.
Yeah, and it makes sense, I think. Like you said, it could be different with game planning. It makes sense in a game to play LaShawn Sims there more, because if you move Adoree in there, then you've kind of got you know a new guy playing and a guy playing out of position. Whereas if you just bring LaShawn Sims and let him play in there, at least, you know, Adoree Jackson and Malcolm Butler are still doing what they've been doing. So I think that makes sense from a, you know, in-game, when it happens in-game perspective, but that things could change. And we saw, you know, when the Titans played the Colts the first time, I mean, Adoree basically followed T.Y. Hilton. Didn't work out very well for the Titans in that game. But, I mean, I think that's a matchup that he can't be successful in. He had a bad game in that one, had the one play where he was there in coverage and just didn't make the play and then didn't make the tackle. So, you know, that obviously inflated that number as well. But, you know, that was a bad game. I don't think it's a matchup he's necessarily going to win, but I don't think it would be as bad every time as it was in that first game. So we'll obviously keep an eye on that. And then the defense as a whole, I mean, we didn't get any news on Sharif Finch. We talked last night about how, you know, we don't know what the status is on Brian Arakpo, who wasn't able to play this past week, but you right now have three healthy outside linebackers, Harold Landry, Kamalay Correa, and Derek Morgan. So if Finch and Arakpo are both going to be down this week, then they're going to bring somebody in. You can't go into a game with just three of those guys. They got a couple guys on the practice squad that could be candidates. They'll obviously have to bring in a corner as well. They've got Durden on the practice squad. He's, you know, kind of been up and down. It was obviously in camp with the team. So I would imagine at this point, they stay in-house with those guys because just with the familiarity with the defense and the fact that, you know, I mean, maybe not whoever the corner is, but whoever they bring in to play outside linebacker is going to have to play some snaps if it's just the three that we talked about being healthy. Just with the way they rotate those guys in and out, you're going to have somebody that can come in and play this week.
Welcome to week 16 of the NFL season. You know, this happens to every team just about every year. Titans have been pretty fortunate in the past couple seasons, but you know, it wasn't too long ago where the Titans were signing tackles off the street. Will Svitek was the starting left tackle for Zach Mettenberger. So it just happens, man. It's a long season, and it's just about how you respond to those injuries. So going back to the defensive side of the ball, thank goodness Malcolm Butler has figured things out. You know, if he was still playing poorly, like he did to start the season, this would be a real issue. Now, you know, obviously it's a huge loss. That's your most steady cornerback there, but not as bad as it could have been. I think Malcolm Butler has held his own. You know, we talked about Derrick Henry's confidence last night. I think Malcolm Butler has gotten a bunch of confidence. So it looked like it was just a case of and it looks like he's straightened out. So interested to see if they're comfortable giving him a big role. You know, maybe he gets some of those snaps on T.Y. Hilton in Week 17. That would be the story to end the season.
Yeah, sure. And for all the talk of, you know, that contract and, you know, how bad it was at the beginning of the year and all that kind of stuff, if it turns out that he plays a significant role here down the stretch on a team that ends up going to the playoffs, that contract's going to look pretty smart. That's the dollars are attached to it just when you lose a guy. And again, this is the reason we talked about. I mean, you got to have three anyway, because you've got your nickel package on the field so much now. The way the NFL is, but then injuries and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, this is week 16 of the NFL. So next man up. So hopefully they've got guys that can fill in and play those roles, and we'll kind of keep an eye on it. We talked about this a little bit too last night, but you know, with a guy like Rashawn Evans, he gives you a little bit of versatility off the edge, and you've got they're there with Wesley Woodyard playing as well as he is. Same thing with Jayon Brown. Evans can rush. Jayon Brown, you know, leads the team in sacks. So they've got some options there. I think that, you know, the depth is maybe not as big a turn there as it would be if you didn't have those three guys in the middle. So anyway, we'll kind of see what they do. I would assume that we'll get some news on that tomorrow, being Tuesday, because, you know, the Titans are going to start practice. Tomorrow would be a normal Wednesday since the game this weekend's on Saturday. So be interesting to keep an eye. All right, coming up, we'll have a few more thoughts on what the offense was able to do against the Giants. All right, so I mean, I think the thing, just looking at stuff today, that stood out to me the most was Dennis Kelly and well played in this game. I think PFF graded him out as like an 89. It was the second highest graded player on the offense behind Luke Stocker. We've been talking about this for a few weeks now about how Dennis Kelly's been better than Jack Conklin. Don't know if Conklin was still hurt or, you know, whatever it is, but it was getting time where they needed to have Dennis Kelly in the lineup, and he came in and he played well. And you know, with the news early in the week that his dad passed away last week and he missed the day, but came back, was able to play well. I mean, you saw the scene in the locker room with Vrabel giving him the game ball. So, I mean, obviously you love to see that for that guy with everything that he's got going on. But good that, you know, we spent, and not just us, I mean, everybody, spent a lot of time talking about how they needed to get Dennis Kelly in the lineup. You know, it wasn't working with Conklin and all that stuff. So good to see, you know, when he gets his first full game in there, that he was able to play like he had in the smaller sample stuff.
Yeah, picked up right where he left off. And like we said, this offensive line is better with him. So I know I wasn't surprised. I know you weren't surprised. If you probably weren't surprised either. You know, like we said all along, Conklin just wasn't right. So happy to see them shut him down for his long-term future and get the guy in that's playing well. So that was cool. This offensive line, it's suddenly getting a push. It's playing well. You know, I don't think they faced the toughest front that they're going to face last Sunday. And then you throw into the fact that they faced the Jaguars, who have just laid down. The Redskins beat the Jaguars, too. They're just done with that season. So hoping it's not fool's gold, hoping they can put together another performance on Sunday. You know, tough Colts front seven coming to town week 17. So that'll be another tough test. But biggest surprise for me, Anthony Firkser only played 15 snaps. I mean, we just assumed that guy was going to step in for Jonnu Smith and be the pass catching tight end. Turns out it was Luke's, oddly enough. Firkser has caught all of his targets so far. That one doesn't make much sense to me. this coming from a guy who went all in on him on DraftKings on Sunday and took that loss too. So that was surprising to me. I don't understand the rationale behind that decision.
Yeah, this coach staff, man, they like Luke Stalker, you know, and I don't really know why. They didn't throw the ball to him at Tennessee, right? I mean, he hasn't been a receiving tight end wherever he's been. You know, he talked about after, you know, he got that 4th-and-1 carry that he hadn't carried the ball, he thought, since back into high school. But he can block and all that stuff. I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't have a role in this team and he's not important, but like you said, you just assume that some of that pass game work would go to, that was missing with Jonathan Smith being out, would go to Ferkser, and for whatever reason in this game, it didn't. They didn't throw the ball that much. I mean, I think that's definitely a part of it, but only 15 snaps, you know, not Ferkser not getting any targets. Stalker got 3 or 4 at least. So I don't know. That was an interesting part of it. See how it changes this week, you know, in a different environment, different weather, all that kind of stuff, being at home and stuff. I would imagine Ferkser would get more run, but who knows? And I'm with you, man. Ferkser at 2,900, man.
Yeah, had to play him.
That was too hard to pass up on DraftKings, but obviously it didn't work out. Took a goose egg there. So, and then again, back to Derrick Henry. I talked last night. There's this narrative going around that, you know, the Titans have done more stuff to get the ball in his hands when he's already moving and all that kind of stuff. And I don't think that's necessarily true. Something has changed in Derrick Henry's approach to how he runs the ball. I think you could see it when, you know, coming out of the bye, we talked a couple weeks ago about his yards per carry and how much better they've been since the bye. But you saw them hit the ball in short yardage, and he was able to pick that up. And that had been our biggest criticism of him around here, was just that, you know, being as big as he is, why can't he pick up short yardage? Why can't he be that guy? He's turned into that guy, and I think he's gained confidence as he goes, and you saw confidence obviously he has in his stiff arm and how effective that's been. And so, I mean, I really think that it's just him. I don't know if it's him getting comfortable in the offense, whereas maybe he wasn't earlier in the season, or what it is. If it's just running these plays over and over and finally getting a feel for it, whatever it is, he's obviously a different guy. And then Evan Silva tweeted this out earlier today, that in Derrick Henry's career, he averages 5.34 yards per carry in December, and he averages 4.19 yards September through November. And look, I mean, all that's awesome, but when the weather gets like it is, teams resort to running the ball more. I mean, you can just see it throughout the league, the teams that are successful, especially in December, and heading into the playoffs, are the teams that can run the ball. And the Titans have obviously found that with Derrick Henry. So I don't see any reason for them to go away from it until it stops working. That's the thing. Again, we talked about these people that have been out here yelling, they got to give him 30 carries a game, they got to get to the game. That's fine as long as, you know, on the first 10 carries he's effective. The problem was earlier in the year he wasn't, and so you can't give him 30 carries when it's going like that. But if he keeps running like he has the last couple of weeks, and like you said, different fronts and all that stuff in the next couple of weeks, but if he keeps doing that, there's no reason not to do what they've been doing with the offense.
Yeah, that Colts game will be interesting because I think he's got a good chance of running all over the Redskins again. The Colts defense is pretty good. So are they going to stick to that? What happens when he has 10 carries for 12 yards? And, you know, are they going to give him the 11th and 12th to open the next drive? I don't know. They certainly have been sticking with it working. I don't think you blindly trust that anymore, but I mean, I'll take it. It wasn't, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we were kind of saying Derrick Henry was done in Nashville and all this, and now suddenly he's back. But I'm with you. I don't think they've changed anything. I thought they could have jolted him to get him going by, you know, getting him more touches in space, getting him some screens and stuff. When he gets going, he is really scary in space. The only problem is when they tried to drop the ball, you know, I remember him punching a ball up into the air and almost causing an interception. So and I'm happy to see him do it in a conventional way. Something's changed. I don't know what it is. You know, like you said, maybe it was the threat of him not playing anymore. Maybe they made a threat of trade. I'm not sure, but somebody got in there, ticked him off, got him running right. And it's good to see because, you know, the knock on him was he's 6'3", 250 pounds, and runs like a scat pack. that had been the case the past 2 weeks. So, yeah, maybe it's just a confidence thing. And if so, the Titans have to find a way to keep that going. I certainly think they can do that this week.
Yeah, and it just gives them, you know, another option. And, you know, there was a point in the season where we're talking about they didn't have any options. And now when you've got Derrick Henry running well, you hope that when you need Marcus Mariota, he's going to be there. We've seen him be, you know, a little bit more successful really in the second half of this season. So hopefully the offense is really clicking on all cylinders now. And I mean, you know, I hate to look past this Redskins game. The Redskins are coming here 7-7. They've still got a lot to play for and all that kind of stuff. But it seems like a good matchup for the Titans with in you know the way their state of their offense and all that stuff. So it's the Colts game that I keep looking forward to. And listen, with the injuries they have on defense, with what we've seen from Andrew Luck throughout his career, his history against the Titans, I would like nothing better than for them to be able to give the ball 30 times in that game. I mean, I think that's their best path to success. But again, he has to be effective. And I'll just say this, I have more confidence in him doing that now than I ever have. I mean, this is the first time, at least that I can remember, these two games together back-to-back. It's the first time that, I mean, I have more confidence in this team. Because we talked about last week, like this just felt like the spot coming off of a big win where they go to on the road, a game they should win, and they lay an egg. And they didn't do that. They came out, they were firing on all cylinders in that game. You know, the first drive stalled with the Taywan Taylor drop. But, you know, they got a touchdown on the second drive. You felt good about where they were the whole game. So, I don't know. I have more confidence in this team than I have in a while. Now, again, that's been a recipe for disaster in the past. And I'm scared of, you know, heading into week 17 with a winner-go-home game against the Colts. But, you know, you'll take that over a game that doesn't mean anything, you know, not having a chance to get in. So, anyway, all right, so we'll look forward to the game here in just a sec, a little bit, talking about the line and kind of what we can expect, at least from a high level, in this game. All right, so I saw a line earlier today, Titans 10. I think it's up to 10.5 in some spots now. You know, it's a pretty big number for this team. You know, again, with the Redskins coming in here, that's not terrible. I mean, they're 7-7. They've been decimated by injuries. I mean, if you look at all the guys that they've lost pretty much their entire offensive line. They're down to their fourth quarterback now, all that kind of stuff. So they've got a lot going on from that perspective. I really thought it'd be Titans by a touchdown. But, you know, again, this is a game that if the Titans come out and play well at home, I mean, they shouldn't have any trouble with. But, you know, you don't see many games where the Titans are favored by 10.
Yeah, there's nothing that scares you, at least from the outside looking in, about this game. Considering how this Titans defense has played over the last week, you get Josh Johnson, they're going to run a college-style offense with plenty of quarterback runs. The Titans defensive front has been playing outstanding. You know, you Titans have the run game going too. The odds just feel stacked against the Redskins there. So that number at 10 feels about right to me. I'm not sure I'd play either way. You know, I'm never comfortable playing anything involving the Titans. But it's a spot, again, where the Titans should come out and take care of business. Now, it reminds me of the Jets spot too, where the Titans came out totally flat and spotted them 16 points. And had to furiously come back, and were really, really fortunate to win that football game. So, once again, every week, Titans have to come out and start the game. I thought they did a really good job of that last week. You know, the first drive kind of fell apart, but at least their attitude was right, and they seemed to be executing at a high level until they got into the red zone. So, hopefully they can start fast and bury the Redskins early. Too much drama there.
Yeah, and again, I mean, the Redskins still do have something to play for, but if you can get them in a situation where you've kind of been, you know, pounding on them all day long, they're going to be a little bit more likely to clinch, as the last two teams that the Titans have seen. But I still think if you can jump out to an early lead, then, you know, you're going to see a kind of a similar type result. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. Two home games left, everything left on the line. You know, the Titans are obviously having a little bit of trouble selling tickets. I've seen a bunch of ticket packages advertised everywhere. You know, listen, if you go to this game, go to this game. I've got two family Christmases on Saturday, so I won't be able to go. But, like, there's a reason not to go out and support this team. I mean, you got two home games left with, well, like I said, with a chance to win in the playoffs, I mean, to win and get in the playoffs. Saturday's a huge day because the Titans, you know, play 3:30, and then the night game is that Chargers-Ravens game, which the Titans need the Chargers to win that game to control their own destiny heading into Week 17 against the Colts. Now, they just need either a Chargers or a Ravens or a Steelers loss, and the Steelers go to New Orleans. So, I mean, the two teams that they need to lose both have really tough games on the road in Week 16. So you feel pretty good that one of them will get the result they would like to see. But, you know, you'd like for it to go ahead and be taken care of on Saturday night.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you were saying, go to this game. I mean, it's a good chance to go have some fun, to see the Titans. What, you know, they should get a win. They should win comfortably. And you can probably get some tickets cheap. It's been kind of frustrating to see the stands the way they are, but I certainly get it. You know, this team has been so up and down. They've been inconsistent. It's just not a real exciting brand of football. But if you're going to have Derrick Henry running for 170 yards a game, stiff arming people and throwing people to the sidelines, you know, I can get up for that. So give them another chance. Playoffs are on the line. They're still alive, and that's really all you can ask for.
Yeah, and I don't know. I feel confident in this team than the team last year. I feel like that, you know, we talked last night about how right now, it's a possibility the Titans would go to Foxborough again. Now, I don't feel great about the game, but I feel a lot better about it than I did the game last year. I mean, I gave the Titans zero chance to win that game last year. This year, we've seen the Titans, you know, dominate the Patriots. Now, I mean, I get odds of them doing that twice in a year and all that stuff. I mean, I understand all that. But we've seen them do it, so we think they can't do it this year. So, I don't know. This is a team I think we can get behind and we can believe in. Now, are they going to win the Super Bowl? I mean, I don't think so. I don't think we're there yet. But it's not like last year where you felt like, okay, we did last year. I mean, we were having these conversations down the stretch about how we didn't want Mike Mularkey. We didn't know if they got in the playoffs, if they won a playoff game. You know, you didn't want to root against them, but you also wanted to see the change. We don't have any of that this year. This year, you want to see them succeed, want to see them something they can build off of, kind of stuff. So no reason not to be excited about where they are and all that stuff. So hopefully, I don't know, hopefully they don't crush us on Saturday. get us to Week 17 and then see if we can get the Andrew Luck monkey off of our back. All right, that'll do it for today's show. We'll be back tomorrow, crossover episode, and then we'll do our Redskins preview on Thursday, or Wednesday. We'll do our Redskins preview on Thursday, yeah. Sorry, getting confused here. All right, in the meantime, we've got MusicCityMiracles.com. We'll have a lot more this game, and obviously previewing the Redskins as we get going throughout the week. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at JMorrisMCM. Terry's at TLambertFB. Subscribe to Locked On Titans wherever you get your podcast. Just search us out. You'll find us there. For Terry, this is Jimmy saying thanks for listening, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.